listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Golden State losing to LA last night, 135-131. Also another loss for Golden State. DeMarcus Cousins went down with what is being called a torn quad, possibly out for the remainder of the playoffs. What does Vegas make of the news regarding DeMarcus Cousins?
It reminds me of the famous Lou Holtz story. He had a fullback that ran like a 4.55 or something. So it was kind of slow for the time. And he goes, I pulled a hamstring. Holtz goes, you don't run fast enough to pull a hamstring. But you look at Boogie, and let's admit something. NBA analytics is yet to fully figure out how to measure the value of a player. The reason baseball has always been at the forefront of the analytics revolution, sabermetrics, is because at the heart of it, it's one pitcher against one batter. There's other factors, but that's the majority factor. But think about basketball. There's a guy maybe that doesn't make a lot of free throws, or I'm sorry, a lot of shots in general. He maybe doesn't get a lot of rebounds. He maybe doesn't get a lot of assists. Well, what the heck? Sounds like he's not very valuable. But for whatever reason, maybe it's defense. Maybe he's the guy that makes the hockey assists. But his plus minus is great. So you got, for example, we'll be talking about the Raptors game. It was what, Lowry had the horrible game?
Yeah,
but his,
Lowry, yep.
But his plus minus was like outstanding in that game. It makes no sense. So I get the idea, well, RJ, well, over the course of a season, let's just say we've yet to crack the code, or the sabermetrics guys have yet to crack the code about how valuable a player truly is. Luckily, from the Vegas perspective, we can look at a team's performance against expectation, against the spread, and give you a pretty good idea. These numbers are going to surprise you. So when the Big Five played for Golden State, this came from pregame.com's research. Mackey headed it up. So the Big Five, Steph, Clay, Durant, Green, Cousins. 21 games this year. 13-8 against the spread. 18-3 straight up. 13-8. So that's 62%. Pretty good. When one of the Big Five didn't play, just one, only 36% against the spread. 22-38-1. So when the Big Five played for the Warriors, 62% against the spread. When they didn't, 36%. Pretty big deal, it seems, to have the Big Five. Now, a fair question would be, but Cousins, you're throwing him in the Big Five. Maybe he was interchangeable. Maybe that fifth guy didn't matter. Maybe Durant being out matters. We know Steph being out matters. But maybe Cousins doesn't matter. Well, we looked that up. When Cousins played in a game, 53% against the spread, 16-14. When Cousins didn't play, 37%.
Mm.
So it's not perfect. Like, no metric is with how much one player matters in the NBA. But the data is telling us that this Warriors team is not the same team without Boogie Cousins. Jonas, as a fan with the eye test, does that sound right to you?
Yeah, it sounds right. I also noticed, just from a fan's perspective, that Chris Webber kept making the point, even when Golden State had a 10-12-point lead, but it was starting to slip, that Steve Kerr felt uneasy. And I think when Boogie Cousins went down, that only made it even worse, that Steve Kerr knows he's got a flawed team. And even with Boogie Cousins gone, I think he sees that even more.
So you can look at Boogie, Looney, the backups. We can say, oh, what a smart signing, pluck him from Australia. He was in Australia for a reason. Also, you would think they call it what, the Hamptons five lineup, the small lineup. You see more of that. So some people might say that's a good thing. But boy, history would say, at least this year, the Warriors played significantly better against the spread, against expectation, when Boogie was on the floor.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Guys, another series in the NBA that is tied up now after last night was the 76ers and the Brooklyn Nets, as Philadelphia, a 145-123 win over Brooklyn. Again, all tied up at one apiece. RJ, what's the Vegas takeaway on Philly and Brooklyn?
You know, this is such a great game to kind of build our framework of predicting. So, Brad, one of the things we've done for years, you'll give me a score, and I'll say, well, what does it mean?
Yeah.
Now, when we started, you said, well, look at the score. It's like, yeah, but all scores aren't created equal. So, to me, I think in the NBA playoffs, there's three possible next likely result buckets where you could say, maybe all the ones in this bucket aren't the same, but in general, there's three big groupings, buckets. Number one is it was fluky. And again, we'll tease ahead to the OKC pick we're going to do at the end of the show. The theory is OKC shot really poorly. We can't necessarily expect that again. There was nothing about the game that they should have shot poorly. Just bad luck, bad shooting.
Yep.
In general, you want to assume the bad luck doesn't continue. If I'm an 80% free throw shooter and I only hit 50% and someone says over under 66% next one, I will gobble that up over, because I'm thinking there's no fundamental reason that I'm no longer an 80% free throw shooter. It was just a bad run. All right, so that's bucket one. It happened, no real reason. Don't expect it to happen again. Bucket number two, and we'll get into this all through the playoffs, coaching adjustments. NBA coaching in a seven-game series, and Popovich has been the master at this. Stevens has done a good job. Obviously, Phil Jackson in the day. They say, oh, you're going to do this? Well, now we're going to do this. Now, what's your next move? And eventually what you find out, and that's why the seventh games are so amazing in the NBA, what you find out is eventually who runs out of a next move first. Whereas maybe you have an adjustment to this, and we'll adjust to you, you adjust to us. But finally, someone's going to shrug and go, I don't know what to do now. There's not a next move for us. So the ebbs and flows in a series can be fascinating. And you can say, yeah, team A did well in this given spot. But now with this adjustment, I expect team B to do better. So we've got our two groups so far. Hey, good luck, bad luck. Don't expect it to continue. That's group one. Group two is, as a result of an adjustment made in series. Now, I think with group three, we've got a situation where it's effort level. And you might say, wait a minute, RJ, this is the playoffs. These guys are getting paid a lot of money. I hear you. I would play pretty hard for a couple million. But I think history shows us that there's even some NBA teams that don't play max hard, even in the playoffs. Would you say you've observed that, Brad?
I absolutely agree with that. That was the whole thought process in the 90s and the early 2000s where the zigzag theory came into play.
And we'll be talking about that because the zigzag is much misunderstood. And when we do our picks at the end of the hour here, we'll talk about the zigzag a little bit. But I look at this 76ers team, and I'd say they are number one on the list of teams that I'll look to play on when it feels like it's a must win, but I'll look to play against them where motivation isn't obvious. Because if you looked at that game, you would say Ben Simmons played differently. He was obviously, there was a sense of redemption off of the talk that, hey, after game one, there was a lot of, boy, we misevaluated Ben Simmons, and he isn't a franchise guy, you know? Because you could make the case before Zion now is coming in the league, is Ben Simmons one of the three most coveted draft choices this century? Could you say LeBron and then Anthony Davis? And then who's next?
Ben Simmons.
And in game one, he didn't play like that.
No, he didn't.
Against Boston last year, he didn't play like that.
Nope.
So the jibber and jabber starts, the talk radio guys like Jonas, blah, blah, blah. And now all of a sudden, Ben Simmons plays with more intensity. Where was that intensity in game one? Number two, Embiid. If you watch that game, he was in the blocks. He was down low. He wasn't messing around shooting threes, trying to act like he's a guard. So he was doing the things that ain't fun. You know how it is, Jonas, where you're dating a girl? Your natural instinct is you want to watch the third football game on Sunday.
Right.
But you know, she's thinking, hey, maybe watch that game on DVR and take me out to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how if you're just off a fight and you kind of felt like there's a fork in the road, but you want to keep her, for a week or two, you go out to dinner on Sunday night.
Yeah, you play nice for a little while.
And then eventually you reach your normal level and break up.
That's why I got into sports radio. Sorry, babe, I got to go to work. I don't know what to tell you.
We all have those things. If it's a diet, you're in a weight loss contest, you've got your normal level. And then you've got your, if I try really hard. I think with the Sixers, we're going to see a true zigzag that when they try really hard and they do the things that don't come natural and be down in the blocks, for example, they're going to be as good as we thought they could be. But the games where they don't feel that, I think there's going to be a big opportunity to bet against the Sixers because I think their ebbs and flows will be more than most NBA teams in the playoffs. What do you think, Brad?
I couldn't agree more, RJ. I think it's a very strong point, and it makes a lot of sense. From a pure starting five, I think a lot of people would generally think that the 76ers, in terms of talent alone, they're starting five, second only to the Warriors, but there's still a lot of youth in that lineup with Embiid, with Ben Simmons, and then you got an X and O coach that's not very well thought of either.
True enough.
Right out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Guys, next up, we move from Game of Thrones, Dragons, and Sorcerers to the NFL, where Russell Wilson got paid a four-year deal, $140 million, with a $65 million signing bonus from the Seattle Seahawks. So he is now the highest-paid player in the NFL. RJ, what's the Vegas takeaway on the Wilson deal in Seattle?
You know, Jonas, I don't know if you know this, but I tend to make predictions.
Do you know how some people get premonitions? I'm one of them.
I was so wrong about this that it's almost wrong to the point I don't understand how I could be so wrong. Here was my thought, and others agreed. If you want, imagine there's a girl, you know, again, I like to talk about food and women or romance, right? My perspective, it's with a woman, but it doesn't matter. Right? It's romance. Why? Because it's what we feel most passionately. We love to eat. We, as humans, we love to connect. And imagine there's a girl, Jonas, one day, finally, you're the old guy in the club. It's going to happen. And you decide, okay, now's the time.
Yeah.
So the next one that you really like, you're like, I'm a huge believer. People that get married, it's usually about their age. They say, well, I'm finally ready. It's the next person that they love. And they love them, but, excuse me, they loved that girl when they were 22 also. They just weren't ready to settle down, right? But imagine you going to a girl you really want to marry and saying, hey, listen, I know you have your ambivalence. You're not sure. I need a decision by midnight tonight. And by the way, if it's 12:01, I don't care if you say yes or not. No go. In fact, we will never be married, no matter what, if you don't agree. Like, does that sound like someone that's trying to make the deal happen?
No.
So now it sounds like someone that was trying to act like they could have a talking point that, hey, we gave Seattle a chance. They failed. We had to move on. Don't blame us. It felt like they were building that case. Now here's the question. And I think this question, the answer to it, determines if this is a good deal for Seattle. Was I just plain wrong about that? and Russell Wilson wanted to play in Seattle, and he just felt like this was the best way to get the most money. If so, I think you should feel good as a Seattle fan. You know, you would feel like, oh, I wish we weren't paying him as much, but at least he wants to be there. That's option A. Option B, he didn't want to be there, that he was doing what I said. But they came in with such a big offer, he couldn't say no. And thus, I wouldn't be happy as a Seattle fan because he didn't want to be there, but the money made him stay. I got to say it's the second, because it just felt like there was no way the way they were setting that up was to maximize the chance. It was like the only way he would stay, it felt like, was a Godfather offer. And they made him a Godfather offer. But now you don't have much money to spread around, and he really doesn't want to be there. What do you think, Jonas?
Yeah, I think that Seattle, and I think Russell Wilson and his agent knew this, that Seattle has always catered to Russell Wilson. Doesn't mean it's a bad thing, but they've always picked him over everybody else. At the one-yard line, it was him over Marshawn Lynch. When it came time to say bye-bye and restructure the team, they said bye-bye to all the guys on defense and kept Russell Wilson. They've always sided with him and gone with him, which is why there was resentment there from some of the veterans on defense. I think his agent and him knew that, and I think they played the Seahawks here.
Yeah, but even if you knew that, you would not try to lock yourself in. I see, in a weird way, you're almost saying like he wanted to stay in Seattle. Do you think the way they said, just yes, no, and we'll move on because we're going to see. Do you think the way Russell Wilson and his agent set up that scenario with the deadline was conducive to him signing with Seattle or not?
Yes.
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 Conducive.
Yes.
Boy, Brad, it felt like
I don't.
It felt like he was doing everything he could to make it impossible to get signed so he could move on.
Yeah, I mean, and what's with the April 15th deadline? Other than taxes, I mean, there was no, what was the hurry, the rush? He was already locked into this season. Yeah,
you would it just didn't make sense that they made it so, I don't know. But the fact that Jonas thinks otherwise, it's why it's such a big question. We're going to see, based on comments, based on passion. I'm skeptical. I think they just overpaid, and he said, what are we going to do? We got to take this deal.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.